Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to have you with us at our service of worship here at St. Fili Road. Wasn't it great to see the new countdown video? Thanks to Chris for putting that together. And isn't the place looking great? Isn't it? It's looking different. Thanks to all who came on Friday and pulled the place together. This is the first Sunday of Advent together, first of four Sundays, where we prepare to meet King Jesus as we prepare for his arrival. And you're especially welcome if you're a visitor with us this morning, or if you're joining with us online, live or on catch-up. I'm Johnny. I'm going to be leading our service today, and our minister, Ben, is preaching in Beaver Presbyterian this morning. But a couple of announcements as we get going. And for the first one, we're going to welcome up Ruth and Freddie maybe as well from Knockbreda Parish. An exciting announcement for us all, so listen in.
Hello everyone, Freddie is not officially part of this announcement, but he is determined he's coming, so I am, for anyone that doesn't know me, the other Ruth Thompson. Some people know me as the other Ruth Thompson from Knockbreda, and I have come because I have been chatting to Ben, I was about to say Bill and Ben, lots about a pantomime that we're going to put on with the two churches together. So it's a bit of an unusual time to put it on. It's going to be on the 3rd and 4th of February, and we're very excited about it. We had our first read through the other day, and there are some members that you will recognise very well from St. Fili Road who are playing some of the lead parts, some from Knockbreda, and I was really encouraged by it. I think it'll be really, really good. So the reason I'm coming to come and say, please be in it, and you really want to be in it, oh yes, you do. Don't say, oh no, you don't, actually, is because we're looking for a couple of things. We're looking for some people to be part of the chorus, so that is sort of singing, dancing, doing all the big musical numbers. I'm looking for probably two or three children to do sort of small speaking parts. We do have a couple from Knockbreda, and we'd like a couple from here, if possible. And then I'm looking for lots of helpers, people that would go, I am excellent at making an amazing dress. Maybe not. You could maybe even sew a hem, or being backstage, or taking tickets, or if you know you've got a skill and you think you could help, then that would be amazing. So I'm going to have a little meeting for anyone that is interested, straight after the service, just at the back of church, and you could come and have a word with me. And just to encourage you as well, if you think you're too young or too old, currently in our cast, the youngest is 6 and the oldest is 75, and we're happy for that to expand. So yeah, thank you very much for listening.
Ruth, thank you. Thank you, Freddie. Okay, Johnny has an announcement for us as well.
Good morning, folks. My name is Johnny McClune, and I work for an organisation called Youth for Christ in Northern Ireland. Youth for Christ has been working in Northern Ireland for 75 years this year, and that's an awfully long time. And I know that many of you here got to experience different parts of Youth for Christ's ministry over the years, whether or not that was rallies or public meetings or being part of Manifest or tea trawlers. Lots of different things over the past 75 years. More recently, that's changed. More recently, we've been investing in local centres, setting up places for drop-in, for young people to come to off the street in different communities. Those communities are often places where young people are most marginalised and most at risk. Do you know, in that context, there's a lot of things about youth work and youth ministry that are exactly the same as the way that we do things here. It's relational. It's about meeting with young people, journeying with them, building relationship and sharing Jesus along the way. But there's also things that are slightly different. And one of those differences is the context. In that place where young people are at risk and they're marginalised, their background, their home life, is often the most different thing. Just in the last 2 weeks, one of our youth workers was chatting with him during the week. in these last 2 weeks that he has been working, he met up with a young person who became a Christian 3 years ago, but then turned to drink and drugs and addiction in that way. And then recently got his life back on track and came back and wants to be back involved as a young leader. And that was a great time for this youth worker, a real positive story. But that story found itself in between him attending two funerals. One funeral for the father of two of his young people who had taken his life, and another funeral for a young man who has a three-year-old himself and had an accidental overdose. That's the context that we find ourselves doing in. So it's very much still about building relationships and journeying with young people, but it's in contexts where in Northern Ireland, in communities that are not too far from here, where young people are finding themselves in very different environments and their home life is often very different. We're celebrating being 75 years this year, and this week I'm journeying out to a lot of our centres. We're walking 75 kilometres to celebrate 75 years in those centres, and we're going to tell some of that story on social media. So I'd encourage you to follow along on Facebook or Instagram. Just type in Youth for Christ Northern Ireland and follow along and see what some of our centres and some of our youth workers are getting up to now. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I was part of that manifest day, or I remember those rallies. Well, join along and see what we're doing now. And if you don't have social media, I'll be out in the back afterwards and you can chat to me. I can get an email address and we'll share some of the story that way. Bethany and I are going to light the first Advent calendar now. First Advent calendar, sorry. You were very generous to me there, you didn't correct me.
This morning we light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
When Mary learned that she was pregnant, she sang, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. The Lord has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
So let us live in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come as a promise to make our broken world right and new.
Soul, the glories of his word, for me.
Well, let's pray together. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. You opened our eyes and let us see. Beauty that made our hearts adore you and gave us hope of a life spent with you. So here we are this morning, here we are to worship, to bow down, and to say that you're our God. That you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to us all. King of all days, highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to this earth you created, and all for love's sake became poor. So we pause for a moment to confess the reality that we'll never know how much it cost to see our sin upon that cross. So here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're our God, that you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to us all. Amen. Boys and girls, I would love you to come up and join me at the front. Come on up, please. Come on, come on, come on. I'm going to need your help to answer some questions in a minute. Lovely. You guys sit down around here. Fabulous. Boys and girls, lovely to see you all. These are all looking great. Fabulous to have you here. I have a few questions. I have a picture on a screen, and I've got certain people, and I want you to tell me, what are they getting ready for? Okay? So what are they getting ready for? So let's see if we get the first one up there. Let's see. Oh, I can't see it on my screen. Okay, so we've got Dave and we've got Alan. What are they getting ready for? Stephanie. They're getting ready for a run. Are they looking in the zone? Yes, you maybe see your dad getting ready to do that as well. I think they're getting ready to get going. Okay, right, let's have the next one. Okay, right, here's Jacob. What do you think Jacob's getting ready for? Yeah. What? Test, yes, he's got about 15 class tests this week. Does he look like he's looking forward to that? Yeah, no, not so keen. Oh, that was a staged photo. Okay, next one. Okay, he's this chap here. He's this. Okay, this is a bit trickier. What do you think I'm getting ready for?
A party?
A party? Oh, it looked like it was a big party at the SSE Arena, yes?
A football match,
nearly. It was actually an ice hockey match the other night at the SSE Arena. We had senior vibe there. That was great. I was getting ready for that with a big hand. Okay, next one. Oh, Johnny and Bethany, we saw them a moment ago. What do you think they're getting ready for? What do you think they're getting ready for? They're getting ready for a baby. I know. Johnny looks a bit nervous there, doesn't he? Okay, next one. What have we got? Okay, here's Jill. What's Jill getting ready to do? Uh-huh. Holly. Feed the chickens, yes. She's getting ready for chicken dinner. Lovely, okay. Yes, and the next one. Oh, here's Hannah. This Hannah sent me this one. Does anyone know what Hannah's getting ready for? A dress-up party. I think you're right. I don't think it was the school nativity. I think it was like Cave Girl Day at school this day, but you can check in with her. And what's last one here? What's Ben getting ready for here? What do you think? He's got a shirt on. What's he getting ready for? He's getting ready for England to play football. He's getting ready for disappointment. Okay, yes, as we can see. Okay, now, these are all people who are getting ready for something, okay? I want you to imagine this situation, boys and girls. You go home this afternoon, you've just had your lunch, and your mum, your dad, or whoever's with you gets a phone call. That's a phone call from this person here on the screen. Does anyone know who this is? Who is it?
King Charles.
King Charles. And King Charles says, do you know what? I'm coming over to see you. I'm coming soon. Now, I wonder how you would feel at that moment. You would probably think, I had better get ready. Now, I don't know about you, I'm not quite sure how to get ready for a king, but I know a guy around here who does know how to get ready to have a king along, so he gave me some advice. Nigel gave me some tips. Okay, so first of all, I was like, Nigel, how do you even address a king whenever he comes? And I said, I'm pretty sure you can't say, hey, Charlie boy, how's it going, whenever the king comes. So Nigel says, you have to say, Your Majesty. Okay, so can you practice that? Everyone can practice it with me. 1, 2, 3. Your Majesty. Oh, very good. Let's go again. 1, 2, 3. Your Majesty. Oh, very good. Okay, Nigel also said, you have to think about what you're wearing. Okay, so have a look at what you're wearing now. Look at the people beside you. Have a little look. Give them a little nod to think whether that's suitable, whether that will be appropriate clothing or not. I think I might have to get rid of my trainers. Because Nigel tells me when you're in the presence of the king, you can't be a scruffy person. And Nigel says, whenever the king comes, you have to, if you're a boy, do a little court bow, which I think is something like this. And if you're a girl, you have to do a curtsy, which is something like that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I think I'd be ready to meet the king. Before we meet the king, we have to think a lot about how we're prepared and how we present ourselves. Well, actually, boys and girls, that's kind of what we're thinking about today. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Okay, so that's a time in the church, and it happens 4 Sundays before Christmas, and it's a time whenever Christians get ready. They get ready to meet a king, but it's not King Charles. Do you know what king it is we're thinking about getting ready for? Yes, absolutely right, King Jesus. At this time in Advent, we look back to the first time Jesus came as a special baby who grew into a man who died on the cross for our sins and to be the Savior of the world. But we also look forward to whenever King Jesus comes back, and we get excited about that. Now, one of Jesus' followers, he was called John. Jesus gave him a really special picture about what that would be like. And I'm going to read, it's quite a short little story, but I'm going to read it, and I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes, and that's for you at the front and everyone here, and just to imagine what it's going to be like whenever King Jesus comes back. Let me read it for you. This is John's picture. He says this. I see a throne, and on the throne is a king, and the king is Jesus. And all around the throne, people are bowing down. They're giving him their treasures. There are loud cheers and clapping and bright laughter like 1,000 waterfalls, and everyone bursts out singing a new song. This is our king, the lamb who died so we don't have to, our rescuer. All honor and glory forever and ever, and every living creature everywhere in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea joins in. And the king says, look, God and his children are together again. No more running away or hiding. No more crying or being lonely or afraid. No more being sick or dying. Because all those things are gone. Yes, they're gone forever. Everything sad has come untrue. And I see I have wiped away every tear from every eye. Then a deep, beautiful voice that sounded like thunder in the sky says, look, I am making everything new. Jesus then said, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. And John didn't finish by writing down the end. Instead, he wrote, come quickly, Jesus, which is another way of saying to be continued. Let's pray together. Let's pray. King Jesus, thank you so much for coming to earth to save us from our sins. And we really can't wait to see you again. Help us to get ready to meet you. Help us this year to prepare well to see you face to face. Amen. Boys and girls, thank you for listening so well. I'd love you to go back to your seats, and we are going to sing My Lighthouse. And after that, you guys will go out to the Ark and to JCB's.
You are
Don't worry, it's fixable. We'll get there. We'll get there. Folks, a few other announcements from today that Ben's asked me to highlight. First of all, tonight we'd love you all to join us at Knockbreda Parish at 6:30. It's for an evening of worship as we step into this Advent season called Prepare Him Rooms. That's 6:30 at Knockbreda Parish, followed by refreshments. Everyone will be very welcome. Also, the free will offering envelopes are now available just outside in the hub area there. You can collect yours there today, or if not, a district committee member or elder will drop those around at some stage. Also, it's our gathering for prayer, our prayer meeting on Wednesday evening at 7:30 in the chambers room. And on the 10th of December, very exciting event coming up. We're going to be hosting a Linking Generations Christmas event. We had one last year as well. It was fabulous. It was organized by members of Red and the Tuesday Break, but it's open to all who want to come and join in. We're going to meet from 2:30 to 4 on the 10th of December. We'll have some games, food, a festive quiz, and some reflections from individuals. It really was a great time last year, so do put it in your diary and plan to come along. And finally, it's with great sadness that I announce the death of Mrs. Mildred Copeland of Glendale Avenue South. Mildred was one of our founder members and such a really faithful prayer for all that went on here. And in particular, I personally appreciated how she committed to pray for our young people. She'll be missed by her husband, Bobby, and her children, Janine, William, and Francis. And of course, her wider family, as well as by us, her church family. Later in the service, Alf will be leading us in prayer for her family. Well, this year, during our Sundays in Advent, we're going to be using a selection of Bible readings and themes taken from the Anglican lectionary. And all of these are designed to prepare our hearts, for the arrival of King Jesus. And this morning, Jill is going to lead us in three short readings from Isaiah, and from Matthew's Gospel, and from Paul's letter to the Romans. So let's follow along in our Bibles. Let's listen in for God's word to us today. Jill.
Isaiah 2:1-5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now Matthew 24:36-44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Romans 13:11-14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen.
Just before Johnny comes to bring us God's word, we're going to sing two songs together. One is a sort of newer one we've been doing over probably the past sort of 6 to 8 months. We've done it a few times, called "The Thousand Hallelujahs." It's a fantastic part in the chorus where it says, "With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more." And then after that, we're going to sing "Cornerstone," just knowing that our hope is built on nothing less than everything that Jesus has given us. So let's stand and sing together. Thank you.
Well, it's the 27th of November, Sunday the 27th of November 2022. The time, by my watch, is 11:45. Jesus hasn't come back yet, but who knows? He might come back at 11:46. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are gracious, you are kind, and you're forgiving. There is so much joy to be found in you. And you also speak the truth to us. So help us to listen to your voice and take you seriously today. Amen. Well, there's an advert on TV that's been getting a lot of traction at the minute. It's really engaging because it tells a slightly different story. It's a John Lewis advert. You may have seen it. If not, you're about to see it now. If you're following online, I'm afraid we're going to have to mute the audio. But hopefully we can watch this. It lasts about a minute and 30 seconds. And, well, it touches us. I think it touches us on a number of levels. Firstly, just in watching this foster family prepare for the arrival of Ellie and Dad's bruising attempts to learn how to skateboard so that he can connect with her. It raises the awareness of challenges that children in care face, and it does it with dignity, which is a refreshing contrast to the usual consumer me, me, me at the center of the story messages we might hear at this time of year. But I also wonder if it awakens something on a deeper level in us, that it speaks to the Ellie in all of us, that vulnerable part of our soul, that part that's longing for home, for a place of security, stability, rest from striving, a place where we can be accepted and taken in no matter what our background or our damage, to a father who wants us so desperately that he's prepared to get bruised. It's the story inside all of us. The good news is this can be our reality. The challenge is slowing down long enough to grasp it. And we know that this is a busy and a distracting time, and we can get so caught up in doing so much stuff that we actually miss what's important. Whereas Advent, this helps us to look in the right place, to look beyond ourselves and prepare for some eternal realities whilst not ignoring the pain of the present. So from today's readings, I want us to explore two realities and one question. The first is this. Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when. Jesus made it really clear to his followers that he planned to return. He told them several times, my personal favorite is John 14, where he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. Then at his ascension in Acts 1, when he's going back to the Father, the disciples, they're gazing up into the sky, and a couple of angels come along, well, what are you looking up there for? This same Jesus who's been taken into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him going into heaven. And the disciples believe this. It's a regular theme in the New Testament letters. It's a sign of where they place their hope. Paul in Philippians writes, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as we read in 1 John recently, he says, live deeply in Christ, then we'll be ready for when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt. Hebrews 9 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And of course, as we looked at with the kids, that final picture in Revelation 22, that climax of the Bible in John's vision where Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming soon." And the people of God responding, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." We are left in no doubt. Jesus taught and the disciples believed that he was planning to come back. So the most natural question is, when? Now, put your hands up if you're the sort of person who likes to know exactly when someone is arriving at your house, okay? Some of you are more chilled out maybe, but okay, lots of hands when you like to know. So, you know, when you invite someone for dinner at 7 and they turn up at 6 or like 9, you get really frustrated, right? Yeah, okay. Those of you who don't get frustrated, you are those other people. One of my cross-cultural experiences in life was marrying Andrea and realizing that they do things differently in the country, okay? There's a different time scale going on there, okay? People just, like, drop in and stay for hours and eat your food, and it's normal, you know? Like, I was puzzled when people say things like, "Yeah, I'll be over Tuesday." When Tuesday? Strange for a city boy. We like to know when, even roughly when someone's coming so that we can be ready. So who can tell me this? When is Jesus coming back? Well, it's been interesting reading various people's opinions who tried to predict these end times this week, including Harold Camping, who tried 12 times to predict. That would have been a bit awkward when you get into double figures. But my favorite of all was the Prophet Hen of Leeds. I think we've got a wee picture up here. In 1806, a domesticated hen in Leeds appeared to lay eggs inscribed with the message, "Christ is coming." And great numbers of people visited the hen and began to despair of the coming judgment day. But it was soon discovered that the eggs were not, in fact, prophetic messages, but the work of their owner, who had been writing on the eggs in corrosive ink and reinserting them into the hen's body. Poor hen. Jill, don't get any ideas. But Jesus is clear, isn't he? We see it here in Matthew 24, verse 36. "About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father." Not even Jesus at this point, whilst he was on earth, admitting his limited knowledge of the plan. Only the Father. And to illustrate, Jesus compares his return to the time of Noah. It's a picture of people going about their ordinary, everyday lives, nothing spectacular, no warning signs in the sky, no hands, no headlines, no big social media announcement, "It's coming soon" hype. Just men and women at their work, unaware of the coming judgment, engrossed in the mundane realities of life as if they were the only things that mattered. In the same way, Jesus says, "I'll return. And some will be carried away to judgment, while my followers who remain will live in the new kingdom." Life together with Jesus. And so Jesus urges the disciples to keep watch because you've no idea when the Master is returning. And he uses another simple illustration to make the point. If you knew someone was coming to steal from you, what would you do? I would invite this guy here over for some inspiration. Kevin McAllister, Home Alone, second greatest Christmas movie of all time. Maybe you've seen it. You see in the next slide here that 9-year-old Kevin, who is accidentally left home alone, he overhears two thieves, the Wet Bandits, Harry and Marv, planning to rob his parents' house. So he is the defender of the house and develops this ingenious defense plan involving falling irons, frozen steps, flamethrowers, fireworks, a tarantula, and paint tins swinging down the stairs. Please don't try this at home. That's why I didn't illustrate with the kids earlier, this one. But he defends his house. But you see, the reality is this. Unlike Kevin, we do not know when someone's coming to nick our stuff. We realize it might be a possibility, so we take precautions. Just like a thief's not going to knock on the door and announce, "Hey, tonight's the night," So Jesus isn't going to send us a text. We have no idea when our master is returning. So Jesus urges, stop wasting time speculating about when. You can't work it out. It'll be sudden. It'll be unexpected. But take it seriously. I am coming back. Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when. And when he does, we know that things will be different. Now, this is where Isaiah's vision is really helpful for us, because it's set in a bleak context. 8th century BC. Isaiah chapter 1, pretty depressing picture. Rebellious children ignoring their God. A society who have turned their backs on God's rule through wickedness, corrupt leaders who just love a wee backhand bribe, people whose ears are closed to injustice, who take advantage of the poor, a people whose religious acts are absolutely meaningless. They're just there for show because there's no inner faith. And a picture of God who's fed up with wickedness and pretense, with empty gestures, who stop listening to their prayers. He describes their unfaithfulness to him as acting like whores. God says to them, you need to sort things out or you'll be destroyed. Judgment's coming, Babylon's on the way. And yet, despite this rebellion, God offers hope. God offers forgiveness. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. If you're willing and obedient, if you turn back to me, you will eat the best from the land. What an incredibly gracious God we have. And then he pulls back the curtain. He gives us a peek, a glimpse of his future kingdom, showing us all where history is heading. A future beyond the horizon, a very real but still to be experienced future. A beautiful, hopeful picture of where we're going. It says, in those last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. As the highest of the mountains, it will be exalted above the hills. All nations will stream to it. God's house, his temple, a mountain solid, towering above all mountains, all cultures, all religions, all ideas. A place for all the nations, not just white middle-class suburbanites, but the full range, the beauty of all nations. A place of the strange, miraculous magnetism where the river of humanity is drawn uphill to worship the one true God, the most important place on earth. People from all over the world will go there telling their friends, come on, let's go. Why? What's happening there? Jesus is there. King Jesus has returned. He's ruling. He's teaching and judging. Teaching his ways. How to live right. Not as rebellious followers, but as obedient children. Walking in the light of God's love. Judging the nations. No more bickering, no more workplace fallouts or inheritance disputes, no more injustice, no more protocol debates, no more killing over land and borders. Instead, swords will become shovels, tanks will become tractors, conflict transformed to creativity. No more sin to us, no more sin in us. Things will be different. And I wonder how your heart's responding to that today. Because this picture of hope is also a bit of a challenge, isn't it? What will it actually be like for us to stand before King Jesus? And I love how the writings of C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia help me to grapple with this. And his picture of Aslan, the lion, the Christ-like figure of his series. And in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the creatures of Narnia, they've been waiting a long, long time for Aslan to return. There's much wrong with their world under the reign of the White Witch, where it's winter but never Christmas. And there's this hopeful prophecy about Aslan that wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. When he shakes his mane, we will have spring again. And Lucy wonders if she'll be afraid when she meets Aslan. And Mrs. Beaver responds by saying this, "Yeah, that you will, dearie, and make no mistake. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly." And later when they do meet him, it says at the name of Aslan, each of the children felt something jump in their inside. Lucy got that feeling when you wake up in the morning and realize it's the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of summer. You see, for those of us who are in Christ, who have accepted Jesus as Savior, asked for forgiveness, there's no need to be afraid of his presence, but we must take him seriously. His judgment is final and fair and perfect and brings peace. And because of Jesus' first coming as Savior of the world, we don't need to be afraid of his second. For those of us in Christ, there'll be no more death. The book closed on our weariness and striving forever. Tears of our painful present gone. Everything made new. Home at last. God's people from all over the world worshiping Jesus. Life together with Jesus fully realized. It's a beautiful picture. It's a hope carved in to every human soul. And our lives today are defined by this reality, this future beyond the horizon, this real but still to be experienced moment. And all of today's passages ask this one big question of us. Are you ready? And I want to reread Paul's message to the Romans from Eugene Peterson's Message version, because I think it helps us feel the urgency of Paul's words. He says this, "Make sure you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in excess, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about." This is a call to action. Jesus is coming back. The time is short. And as we get ready, Paul says, do two things. Wake up and get your kit on. Wake up. In the Bible, sleep and sleepiness is used as a metaphor for moral carelessness or compromise. That sort of, yeah, whatever, it's not a really big deal attitude to your sin. Paul says, don't be sleepwalkers. Don't be so mindlessly absorbed in whatever story culture puts before you. Don't become so exhausted and distracted by day-to-day things that you miss what really matters. Wake up. Wake up to what God is saying. Wake up to what God is doing around us. Jesus is coming back. So where are you at with him? Have you actually invited him to be your savior from sin? Or if you're honest, is your life of more of a veneer of religion than the real thing? Or maybe just pure rebellion? Well, the 27th of November seems like a good day to wake up to his grace and embrace his forgiveness. Or maybe as a disciple, you need to wake up to how you're using the time God has given you. Do not squander it or mess around with the things that don't really matter. To stop putting a bow around the sin in our lives and pretend it's all right. Instead, let us put on Christ's clothes and let him find us doing something that honors his name. Or perhaps we might ask, Where are others in our lives at? Our family, our friends, our work colleagues. Do they know Jesus is coming back? That things will be different? Are they ready? How might we help them to wake up to these future realities? How might we share the gospel with them? Wake up and get your kit on. This month we'll see footballers from all over the world pull on the shirt, wear it with pride, ready to represent the team. What if we, as we put our clothes on in the morning, we said a simple prayer? Lord, help me to represent you well today. Because keeping our clothes on is a metaphor for life of a disciple. Putting on the character of Christ. A life lived in holiness, doing good, following the example of Jesus. Advent is the perfect time to allow your heart to prepare room for him, to draw near to Jesus, to make space to enjoy his presence. And what I find helpful in making the move from the, I know I should do this, to actually praying and spending time with him, is the Lectio 365 prayer app. If you've got a smartphone, it'll be there in Play Store waiting for you. Lectio 365. It's really helpful for leading us in prayer at the start and the end of the day. I highly recommend it. And if you have younger kids, there's one for families too. Making space to enjoy the presence of Jesus. Well, the time's now 12:08. Jesus hasn't come back, but he will one day. And things will be different. Are you ready?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you thankful and grateful for all that you have done through Jesus and for all that you will do through Jesus. Thank you that, as Johnny has reminded us this morning, our King Jesus will be coming back. And that, as Jesus promised in the Bible, he will restore all things. He will bring about the new heaven and the new earth where everything will be made new and the kingdom of God will be fulfilled. Lord, sometimes this seems too much for us to take in or to fully believe. So we ask you that we will go away from here this morning with our understanding of what you have promised deepened, our belief strengthened, with a desire to prepare well for your return and to live now in a way that prepares us and others for life in a fulfilled kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you that all will be different, that all will be new, that brothers and sisters in you from every nation will join together in praise and worship. Thank you that we are part of your worldwide family, and thank you for your saving, redeeming, transforming, resurrecting love for each one of us. And help us to love others as you have poured out your love on us. Oh Lord, our hearts break when we think of the over 100,000 children in the care system across the UK. We know you know each of these children. You know the number of hairs on each of their heads. And we pray for each and every one of them, that they will know your presence and hope today. We pray for all the social workers, foster carers, adoptive parents, and everyone else involved in caring for and seeking to improve the future of these children. May they all know your blessing this week. And Lord, we continue to pray for all those affected by the war in Ukraine. We pray for those who are fighting on the front lines. We pray for those who have been bereaved, for those who have been injured. We pray for those who are without power or water across Ukraine, and for all those who are living in fear. We pray for peace and justice to come, and for it to come soon. Lord, we pray for all those affected by the rise in inflation and the cost of living crisis. We pray that you will protect the most vulnerable this winter and provide practical help and hope for those who are struggling. Lord, we also pray for the country of Iran. We watch with such admiration at the courage of the women, young people, and everyone else protesting such a repressive and ugly government. We pray that as the government cracks down with increasing violence and cruelty, that you will protect those who are protesting and that you will give them even deeper courage. And that we ask that you will bring about a change of leadership that will lead to a free and open Iran. Lord, we thank you, as Johnny reminded us earlier, for all the amazing work Youth for Christ has done for the last 75 years and continues to do across Northern Ireland. Lord, we pray for the marginalized and at-risk young people where there is such disadvantage due to absent fathers, addictions, crime, low educational attainment, and mental health difficulties, and how those wreak havoc in communities and the lives of young people. We pray that the church would join God in his mission alongside Youth for Christ to bring hope and transformation in these places. Lord, we thank you for the Youth for Christ centers where staff and volunteers have for so many years been faithfully reaching out to the lost, the broken, and the hurting across our society. And as 75 years of mission through Youth for Christ in Northern Ireland is marked, we please pray that more people would catch a vision for mission to unreach people in marginalized communities across our country. Pray that more people would partner with Youth for Christ prayerfully, financially, and give their time in Youth for Christ centers to care for young people. And Lord, this week, as Youth for Christ people visit each center and walk together, pray that they would communicate what God is doing in the lives of young people and how he is using Youth for Christ to impact this unreached generation around us. Lord, we pray for the staff and volunteers as they work in really difficult environments, and that more and more and more young people would experience the love of Christ and be called to join in God's family. We pray that this week, those working with Youth for Christ would see God move afresh and be really encouraged by the generosity and partnership for the work that is yet to happen in the future across so many Youth for Christ centers. And Lord, we especially pray for your blessing and protection over Johnny in his work as a leader in Youth for Christ. Please guide him and encourage him and strengthen him. Lord, we pray for Ben this morning as he preaches in Beaver. We pray for the church in Beaver during this time of change and uncertainty. We ask that you will be at work renewing the church in Beaver so as to reach more people across the whole Beaver estate where there are such deep, deep needs for Jesus. We thank you that Gordon and Sandra have been able to travel again to the John Calvin faculty in France. We pray that as Gordon teaches the students there in the coming days, that you will speak through him, that this time of face-to-face teaching will help shape the students into the men and women you would have them be, and that you will strengthen them for service to you through the French church in the days, weeks, and months to come. We also pray for Heather as she arrives home this week. Please give her safe travel and a good re-entry into life here in Northern Ireland. We thank you for all that you have been doing through Heather over the last few months she has spent in Asia. And Lord, we especially thank you today for the life of Mildred Copeland. So many people here remember her as such a prayerful founder member of this church. We pray for her family, her husband Bobby, and her children Janine, William, and Francis, and their wider family. Please comfort them and hold them, and all those other people who are grieving at this time in your loving arms, and please remind them of the great hope we have in you. Lord, we take a moment now to bring those who are on our minds before you. Lord, as we leave here today, I pray that you will walk with each of us into the week ahead, that you will fill us with your hope, the hope of Jesus returning, and that that hope will shine through us so much that others will notice and want to know why, in a world in such turmoil, we have this hope through Jesus. Amen.
Jesus is coming back. Things will be different. So come on, people of St. Field Road, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.